Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about today chaos on Capitol Hill. Chaos on Capitol Hill. Perhaps you've been keeping up with the news. Some of the fake media is going at the reporting of the news from a totally opposite direction of the facts. But nevertheless, yesterday made history, I believe, for the United States of America and the election process. It is a grave scenario that we're faced with viewing on the horizon of a Biden administration. But we're going to be talking about today that chaos on Capitol Hill. We'll look at some of the things that are being said, but the major question that needs to be asked, why did any of this take place in the first place? Why did the move on Capitol Hill take place? Why were the Patriots there? Were they involved? And what really took place on Capitol Hill? Those are the major questions that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking with Congressman Mike Hill, District 1 for Florida in the House. Recent adventure there for him. But we'll be talking with him and others today in relationship to that question, why did this take place? But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me say to you that we do so based on the Word of God. It is based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32, then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further he elaborates and gives a declaratory statement about truth. In John 17, 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to seek, ladies and gentlemen. But as George Orwell, the secularist of many years ago, made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place even as late as today, with the news media going wild. Here's an article in today's paper locally. Trump backers storm the U.S. Capitol. One woman shot and killed. Lawmakers duck for cover. And then they go on to elaborate on the strangest side of the issue that I've ever dreamed possible. But this is the reason as Christians we need to stick to the truth. As conservatives and patriots, we need to stick to the truth. It is the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what we ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the issue that we're so pressed with today, but ladies and gentlemen, America awakens today with what I believe is a completely different America. Yes, you heard me right. We have awakened today to a completely different America. The past 24 hours has given us a new president. It has given us a whole lineup of spineless Republican representatives and senators. On both sides of the aisle, ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing cries of disdain and condemnation of the breach of the Capitol security. Yes, all of us, and I don't think there's any of us that would question the outcome of what has taken place in relationship to the breach of the Capitol. All of us, I believe, would openly condemn this type of violence. We all are saddened, ladies and gentlemen, for the family that lost a 35-year-old daughter, having served, I believe, some 14 years in the U.S. Air Force, defending America on several overseas tours of duty. Shot by the Capitol Police. One of the Capitol Hill police officers, as the videos show, opened fire, and she is killed in that fire. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow, some way, none of us would begin to suggest that the destruction and the chaos and the rioting and the confusion and the taking over the U.S. Capitol would be authorized and or recommended. But before we launch into the point of pointing our fingers, before we launch into saying that President Trump is at fault, before we launch into looking at the reality of what took place from a biased, jaundiced eye as the socialist Marxist media and the Democrats on the left, before we launch into pointing fingers at President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, as being that evil, wicked person, as the Marxist media says, and the deception that's taking place by the Democrats and the spineless Republicans. Let's ask that question. Let's ask two major questions today, ladies and gentlemen. We must ask the most important, serious question of all, and that is, why did any of this take place in the first place? And secondly, why were so many patriots gathered in Washington? That's the question that we're going to try to get to in the process of this Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. We have former Congressman Mike Hill on the line with us today. Mike, welcome to the broadcast today, although it is under sad, serious circumstances that we have this dialogue and discussion. We're going to talk with you for a moment. Then we've got another gentleman on the line that was one of the people, one of the patriots in Washington. We're going to ask him to join our discussion with the two of us and find out what he sees, what he says that he had seen in the process of being there. And that's the question that we need to ask, though. Mike, welcome to Let's Face the Issues. Let me just simply begin by saying to you and through you to our listening audience today that we are indeed saddened with the outcome of the election. We're saddened with the horrific scene in the hallways of the Capitol and the House and the Senate building. We're saddened to know that a life was lost in the process. But that is just simply some of the indicators of the problematic difficulties that were somehow, some way, brought onto the forefront because of the loss of the election and the way it took place. Mike, respond to just as kind of some introductory thoughts to our listeners as to your position and your thoughts on what has taken place and how we need to see it and respond to it.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. And I'll tell you, right now, I'm still almost in a state of shock.
Yes.
Of what we saw took place yesterday. As it was unfolding, some people, friends of mine from the area who were actually there, were sending me videos. I was watching news and seeing what was happening, but not the mainstream media. I was watching OANN News and Cloud TV and more reliable sources. And what I was seeing was just putting me in utter shock. I could not believe what I saw was happening. I will say this. In the beginning, I was thrilled to see so many Americans, American patriots, who went to Washington, D.C., who went there to assemble peaceably and to let the nation know that they were not going to stand for the stealing of this election from President Donald Trump. And I was thrilled to see all those people. I mean, it was a crowd that I don't know the exact number, but it looked close to a million people were there easily. And according to my friends who were there, they were saying that's probably right, that the press reporting about 10,000 is utter nonsense. There was close to a million people there. And so I was thrilled. And then as the day unfolded and I saw what was happening, in particular, when the breach of the Capitol began, I knew right away, even before we received some confirmation pictures, I knew right away that those were not Trump supporters who were trying to storm that Capitol, who were trying to bust that door down. Those were Antifa infiltrators who were there and who stormed that building. And to even watching the reaction of the Capitol Police, it was all baffling to me, and I did not quite understand what was going on. And then when the poor lady who was shot, and I understand has subsequently passed away. That's just tragic. And I don't. And then they're trying to blame it on Trump supporters, and that is not what happened. And as you say, Dr. Youngblood, getting into those questions, why did that happen in the first place? And I think it is because the more basic thing of where we are seeing our nation, how we have come to a point where our culture is degraded, our education system is poor at best, yes, and how our electoral process has been compromised. That's what all got us there. It is a rejection of God in this country, I believe, absolutely, is what we're seeing.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold on for just a moment. I believe we have Randy on the line to give a discussion. Randy was there. Randy is the head of the Acts for America chapter here in Jacksonville. And Randy, I believe you're there from an on-site personal scene that you were experienced yesterday. Jump in for a moment and tell our listeners what you saw and what was actually taking place versus what the news is telling us, and then we want to have a little dialogue and discussion around that.
Well, I believe there's a few things going on, Dr. Youngblood. One, we went up there to provide additional security for Trump's speech. About 40 of us out of Florida were asked to assist the Secret Service in doing some extra protections there. So I wasn't at the Capitol when it was stormed. I was still helping with security and getting people out of the event. And we went up towards that direction. So when word broke out that they were storming the Capitol, you know, I was in the force, and I was the initial belief that really there was no Antifa. It didn't sound right, but they said they're breaching it by pushing back the fences. So we were getting news just like you were over here in Florida, probably. So my sources weren't as good until, you know, once we heard that, then we a lot of us went up to see what was actually occurring. You know, initially I was like, there really wasn't a whole lot of presence of Antifa. Now, what I will tell you is Antifa was there. Obviously, it's in the news now. We're finding out they were definitely there. But there were Trump supporters, and I think that did it. But for the most part, there were a million peaceful Trump supporters there. There were a handful of Trump people that got, I believe, caught up in the moment. And again, I think the frustration of having – I think there was a reporter on Fox News that said it best. He said the left had 4 years, even though they didn't like President Trump, he was the illegitimate president, they had 4 years of investigations to get closure. Our side has not had closure. Basically, the courts at the state and the federal level have shirked their responsibilities and not taken up any of the case and done any kind of legitimate investigation. Legislatures have not done any type of legitimate investigations at the state level. And then at the federal level, you have our leadership who have turned their back and betrayed Trump, they rode his coattails and rode with him when it was successful and opportunistic, but when it was time to stand with him, didn't even stand to get a proper investigation. And Americans are rightfully at their wits' end because they've had no closure, no way to get no justice, I guess, no equal justice. And we just haven't gotten it. And seven, you've got... 75 million voters who voted for a president, an election. This was not an election loss. Someone else said the Democrats won. The Democrats didn't win. This was a coup d'etat via the ballot box, aided and abetted by largely most of the Republican Party at state and federal level.
Absolutely. Randy, listen, if you'll hang in a minute with Mike also, I've got a couple of articles. I'm just simply going to toss in a blurb or two from them for the benefit of a little clarity in the direction we're going with the broadcast today for the benefit of our listeners. By the way, for our listeners, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and discussion, if you were in Washington and you have an insight as to what was taking place, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about the end result of what had happened and the whys and the wherefores of it, we'd like to hear from you. Here's an article just on the morning news. If they can do it to us, they can do it to you. So all we get out of them and out of their stooges is the snooze media and big tech is bald denial that there was any fraud at all in the voting. Name-calling, ridicule, and manic rush to get China Joe into the White House comes to regardless of what happens, they use some profanity. They refuse to look at the evidence. They stole the election and want to keep it. We will ignore the question of whether even to trust the government to investigate itself. Since President Donald Trump first declared his candidacy, Democrats, the snooze media, and the deep state worked around the clock to defeat him and have failed in that, to run him out of office with one hoax after another. After 4 years of that, we are now expected to play nice guys and believe the whopper that 80 million of us voted for the dawdling plagiarist who spent most of his campaign hiding in his cellar. What are we looking at here is a vast scheme to impose global governance on us while maintaining the illusion that nations are governed by themselves. And he goes on and on in the article talking about the lost election as a result of fraud and because of the Dominion voting machines out of China and what it's done. And now here's the most staggering article on the online news this morning. Global defense contractor and IT expert testifies in an Italian court that he and others switched votes in the U.S. presidential race. Dateline Rome, Italy, January the 5th, 2021. An employee of the 8th largest defense contractor, Leonardo Spaia, S-P-A, provided a shocking deposition detailing his role in the most elaborate criminal act affecting U.S. elections. Corroborating the DNI Ratcliffe's report of internal intrusion. He goes on to say and outline the scheme that proved successful in using Leonardo computer system and military satellite located in Italy. Recent reports of a hack of Leonardo now appears to have been an orchestrated over the mitigating blowback of the corporation that is partially owned by the Italian government. And he goes on to talk about what had taken place and how the election had been stolen and his part in it. He says, Nations in Actions, a government transparency organization, partnered with the Institute of Good Governance to thoroughly investigate and research the election irregularities, which yielded the long-awaited proof that a flawless plot to take down America and was executed with extraordinary resources and global involvement. Americans and elected officials now have proof that the election was indeed stolen. This provides the mechanism for each state to recall their slate of electors immediately or face lawsuits and request all federal government agencies to lock down all internal communications, equipment, and documentation to the Rome embassy. Make no mistake, this is a coup d'etat that we will stop in the name of justice and free and fair elections in the future, end quote. Mike? Randy, tell me your thoughts on this. And the point that I make with reading a portion of that article, Mike, is the fact that the reason the patriots are in Washington to begin with, the conservative patriots, not just Trumpers, but conservative patriots were concerned as a result of a stolen election. And the Democrats, the social Marxist BLM communist Democrats, and the Marxist media would do nothing in relationship to trying to investigate, in fact, squelched any communication by Twitter, Facebook, and other online social media sites to prevent any communication about what was taking place. And so as a result of that, there was the feeling by, in fact, one article I read yesterday said about 8 million were there. Mike, you say that your folks say that approximately a million. So there were hundreds of thousands, let's say, of patriots there in Washington simply because they wanted redress, wanted to be heard because our election was stolen. How do you respond to that statement? What do you say, Mike, in relationship to it? And then, Randy, I'd like to hear from you also as to what your thoughts are in relationship to the patriots being in Washington.
Well, I think the author of that article was exactly right. He was spot on. The thing is, Dr. Youngblood, is any reasonable person can see for themselves that fraud took place during this election in several states. And to correct that fraud, justice is being denied. And when you see justice being denied at all levels, including up to our Supreme Court, it leads to a feeling of frustration. But at the same time, it caused all those patriots, those American patriots, to say, we're just not going to sit by and take this. And in mass, they went to Washington, D.C., and that's what I was so proud to see. But we're seeing now a situation where, let me say this, Dr. Youngblood, it is still not over.
That's right.
Until January 20th comes and the president is sworn in, it is still not over. Anything can happen between now and then. And I believe something yet to come still may happen. What? I don't know. Because I am so surprised by the events over the past 24 hours. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I saw the list of the the representatives and senators who voted to not object against the apparent fraud that we saw in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. And our own Senator Rick Scott voted against objecting, and so did Marco Rubio, voted against objecting what we saw coming out of Georgia. But strangely, Rick Scott voted to object against what we saw coming out of Pennsylvania. It is completely confusing. I don't understand it. I don't know why that there were not more Republicans who would object to what we saw coming out of Georgia and Pennsylvania.
You're exactly right, and we'll talk about that further in just a moment. Randy, let me ask you a question in relationship and inextricably linked to the total conversation. You have a pretty good investigative background in looking into situations with extreme dangers for our government and for those involved. I am of the opinion, the high probability, and of course we realize that it wasn't the Trump supporters that promulgated the break-in of the Capitol, but I'm of the opinion that Capitol Police were not totally trying to secure the premises and the perimeter of the building. Some of the articles that I've read indicates the high possibility that some doors were open, left open on purpose for Antifa to enter. Is it possible, this is my question, is it possible that the socialist Marxist media linked with the Marxist Democrat Party were orchestrating this to take place so that it would redound to the absolute fact that those representatives and senators that had said that they were going to object, said that they were going to take a stand. In fact, I've got article after article after article of the different ones speaking that they're going to take a stand for truth. They're going to take a stand and produce evidence. They're going to take a stand and show the Senate and the House members how this election was stolen and how we ought to object and ought not to certify the Joe Biden presidency, et cetera, et cetera. But after this event at the Capitol, these simply caved in. Kelly Loeffler, for example, withdrew her objection with a mealy-mouthed, mamsy-pamsy speech to the Senate. That she was not going to object, even though she had lost the race, et cetera, because how sad it was to see this destruction and this entry into the Capitol, et cetera. Is it possible, Randy, that this was a methodology, the modus operandi being used to have the results of the backing down of legislators to prevent them from objecting to the certification of the battleground states, especially Georgia and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, et cetera? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you have two separate issues. The one issue of the of any senator who is going to back the objection and change their vote on the false or the weak claim that it had something to do with the breaching of the Capitol, whether it was Trump supporters or not Trump supporters, are two different issues, because either you stand for justice and rule of law or you don't stand for justice and rule of law. If there was election fraud and you say, oh, people rioted, so now we don't investigate fraud, what does that do? Does it embolden those people rioting or does it not? So to claim that, to use that as an excuse is not a legitimate excuse, because you either stand for, we are either a country, a nation of laws and justice and equal justice under the law, or we're not. If there was election fraud or irregularities, and you believe there were, then you have a constitutional duty and an oath that you swore to uphold, that you uphold that duty regardless of what's going on around. Okay? Either it's right or it's wrong. So that's a totally separate issue. Now, to ask me whether this had an effect, we already see the fruit of what happened. And they've said in their own words, I'm not doing it now because. So we know that the effect of what happened, whether it was Trump supporters, Antifa, or a combination of the two, the effect was still the same. The effect was not good. There's a reason that I don't go, and you know, Dr. Youngblood, you were interviewed after our mosque was bombed in Jacksonville, and I was interviewed because who? Dr. Parvez Ahmed, our human rights commissioner, and our leader, what he made the front page of the Times, Mr. Honorable, named you and I without any evidence as people that he would likely bomb a mosque. Now, is that ridiculous? Now, there was no evidence to the fact, but we stood for truth and justice. There are people that are going to get blamed regardless. There's going to be conspiracy theories flying around about all this. Is it possible? When you look at the fact that China, that supposedly Ralph, the Secretary of State and Brian Kemp are tied in and brought in machines, if you look at their actions as a whole, why did they force Dominion machines throughout the state and purchase these machines, changing other machines? Why did other states go in? We know that these machines are compromised. We studied and talked about this over almost a decade ago when they were in Venezuela and they first started using them in the United States.
Right.
Started raising red flags. So were these machines compromisable? Absolutely. There's no question. Were there people that lost votes? Were there... In any election, a machine should never, a vote count should never go down for anybody. But there were several demonstrations where vote counts actually went down for Trump and went up for Biden. It doesn't matter whether it's Trump or not. Nobody should lose votes. So even other presidential electors lost votes. That's been statistically proven. So either you stand for justice or you don't. Now, were there videos prior to Trump's event showing that buses were coming in and police escorted in D.C.? I saw the videos, and the people on the ground were saying they were Antifa on those buses. They were videoing it. Could I conclusively say that was Antifa on those buses? No. I can say that 7 charter buses came in. They had an escort from black sedans and into the Capitol. Is it possible that there was assistance? I'd say at this day and age, looking at on January 20th, we may become the USS of A rather than the US of A. Based on Biden's connections to the Communist Party USA and their infiltration and their level of infiltration to, like, Feinstein, who had a spy working for over 20 years. You've got the other floor leader who Fen Fang, that he was sleeping with. I can't remember the gentleman's name now that's a member of Congress.
Eric Swalwell.
There you go. So do we have foreign actors that are trying to influence legislators in America at all levels? Absolutely. Are they being influenced? Absolutely. Do they understand the threats? No. I mean, how is it that our former sheriff and current congressman was trained by Hamas, care doing this as Hamas in the United States? He was officially training the FBI and JSO. Then after that happens, he ends up on the board of the Turkish Gulen Group after taking a 2-week trip to Turkey. After I explained who this group was, he writes a letter on official letterhead saying, hey, what can I do for you? Thank you. We learned so much. And then sits on an advisory board for 4 years. You know, I'm not saying John's a good guy. I think that since he's been in Congress, I think that he's been enlightened to some of the influence ops and the level of the influence op. And he has kind of changed his stance. But that's how a successful influence operation works. The facts kind of go out the windows. The personal relationships take precedence. And it's incremental. And we don't, as American politicians, we don't understand the war that is taking place. It's politics as usual. And we do not understand that America is experiencing a Marxist-Maoist model attack. And they are using those attacks to infiltrate and to influence electors and to push their goals. That's why we have such a strong Iran lobby inside the United States. We have a strong Chinese lobby. We're doing business with a CCP country. That was one of the 45 goals of the Communist Party USA was to do business with China. That was a major goal, along with promoting homosexuality, promiscuity, pornography, taking down statues.
We've got a hard break coming up in about 10 seconds. Thank you so much. I know that your schedule won't allow you to hang in for the whole broadcast hour, but if you can hang on there, that'd be wonderful. Congressman, hang in there for about 1 minute for our top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue this discussion today, Chaos on Capitol Hill.